This is another podcast from ABC Riverina. You're listening to Digital Living with Anne Delaney, Dr. Barney Dalgano, Peter Adams and Phil Roy. Now, who's got on the list, their wish list, an iPad? Who wants an iPad?
I think Barney does.
I definitely want one.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
So let's talk about it. First of all, for people who haven't heard what an iPad is, what is it?
Well, there's heaps of speculation, Anne, over the Christmas break about Apple launching a new product. So, and really interestingly, you know, because you can't keep anything a secret, you know, with the internet. So people watch what their lawyers, so Apple's lawyers, when they register trademarks and things, there's people who just watch that. And apparently Apple late last year, registered iSlate. So the rumour was that Apple were releasing some sort of tablet computer was going to be called an iSlate. So, yeah, but the most interesting
thing... Sounds a little Flintstones, though.
Yeah, well, I suppose the most interesting thing about the launch was that it wasn't quite the name everyone was predicting. But all it is, Apple has released a tablet computer, or netbook, I guess is probably the best description, called an iPad.
Now, where does it sit in the realm of technology between, for instance, an Apple iPhone or even an iTouch... and a full-on laptop? Where does it sit in those two extremes?
Well, this thing can sort of be considered to be a grown-up iTouch, bigger in size, something that's more useful for reading things, for taking in content. It's not a phone, doesn't have the phone features, and it's not a...
It'd look pretty stupid holding up your ear.
It's not a computer as such. It doesn't have all the full features of a computer. So it's you know, in between the iTouch and a netbook or a notebook computer. It's to look at, very simple, just metallic cover on one side and on the other side is a touch screen. Really no buttons to worry about. There's a few little connectors if you want to, you know, you need to plug it in to get some power and do some other things with, connect it to media sources. But otherwise, very simple, you know, no keys and things to muck around. And that's something that Apple do really well. They've certainly done very well with the iTouch and their iPhone.
They're beautiful to play with.
It's all about the user experience, and they do it really well.
So, Barney, why do you want an iPad?
Well, I've just noticed, I've finally got my iPhone. I should announce that since I've spent an enormous amount of time saying I really, 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 really want one. I mean, partly thanks to Phil, I've got one on loan from the IT department at the uni, but I'm going to organise a way of holding on to it.
A permanent loan.
It's called stealing.
And what I've really noticed is that some things I use it for, would be nicer to have a bigger screen. You know, I'm sitting down at breakfast reading the news on Safari on this tiny little screen, and I can do it, but I could do it better with a bigger screen. And similarly, I'm tending to use it, you know, for email. I'm tending to, you know, browse the web to look up cricket statistics while I'm watching the cricket. You know, all those sort of looking at information applications, I reckon... just a slightly bigger screen would be better.
Okay, so I'm going to put this right out there. Is the iPad, and I'm going to stick this out there because I'm one of the oldest in the group, is this iTouch for people who just need bigger font?
Yeah, so the older generation.
Yeah, the older generation version of the iTouch. You've got all the 16-year-olds with their tiny little iTouches reading their emails and looking at their stuff. Is this really just for those of us who squint and strain a little at the iTouch?
Well, it's interesting. Bob Carr, who's sort of done some commentary on this, the previous Premier of New South Wales, has said that's probably, for him, the biggest benefit is that he does a lot of reading and he has trouble, gets eye strain. He said, if I can adjust the font, it'll be a winner for him. So, you know, it is that, but it's a lot more. It's what, when we've talked about things like the iTouch and iPhones in the past, it's not just the device that we're talking about. It's the media, or in other words, the content that you can view using it, how you get that content, which is through Apple's online store. It is the device, and it's about making the device available for developers to develop applications. So, you know, it's a whole sort of package that they're putting together.
Is it really new, though? Because I have heard that other companies have kind of stuck their hand up and gone, excuse us, we've already kind of done this. Why is Apple getting all the attention? So is it actually new?
Well, certainly not the concept of a tablet computer, but I think the issue is, with all technology, is timing versus the technology. So in the smartphone world, or you know, the iPhones and the Blackberries, etc., You know, 1993, Apple released a thing called the Apple Newton Message Pad.
Oh, gee, that was a long time ago, Pete.
So, you know, and that was Apple. So, you know, we always talk about the successes of these things, but, you know, it just didn't take off. And Palm Pilot sort of had that market for a lot of years, but it was all a bit too clunky for your general user. So what's actually happened is the reason the iPhone has been so popular is that it's taken that sort of functionality to the mainstream. But I should point out, in the last quarter last year, Nokia sold more than twice as many of their smartphones as the iPhone did. So it's not... we talk about the iPhone a lot, but that's because it's hit the consumer market. So the business market is still using BlackBerry's RIM product, which also outsells the iPhone, and Nokia still sell twice as many as the BlackBerry as well.
It's almost become the generic phrase again, like we saw iPod become the generic phrase for any MP3 player. We're almost seeing iPhone become the generic for any smartphone.
Yeah, and that's just good marketing on their part, because as I said, they're not even the market leader. But funnily enough, because, you know, the beginning of the year when we were all having a little Chrissy break and heaps of things were happening, but the companies are very strategic about when they announce things.
You know, well, the device is not actually ready until later in the year. So this is...
So
they've done a great job with the marketing. In the States, in the Northern Hemisphere, particularly in North America, this sort of January period is the period where a lot of new announcements are made. There's... Consumer Electronics Show occurs at that time. There's other big announcements.
Mac
so it's a bit of a season for announcements and marketing and all. And theirs was the story of the season. So, you know, they really did do a job and, you know, did the marketing really well.
One of the interesting things with it is that when we sort of heard on the grapevine that the iPad was coming, or this announcement about it was coming, and we were sort of thinking of it primarily as a competitor to the Amazon Kindle, which is the sort of leading device in the electronic book reading market. It's interesting that a lot of the announcements about the iPad and the, you know, when you go to the website and look at the video and read the features, the reading of electronic books on it rates are mentioned quite late in the piece. You know, they talk about it as the best, you know, lightweight web browser.
That's right.
Email viewer, Facebook, you know, all the sort of consumer applications, with reading of books lower down. And we're sort of speculating that maybe that focus will change once they've got enough publishers into the, you know, into agreement with them that they can actually really start to sell books on it. Because when you look at it, I mean, one of the things that really strikes me about it is that it weighs it's slightly smaller than an A4 page. It weighs 700 grams, and I did a couple of tests on my kitchen scales, and the Da Vinci Code weighs 400 grams, and I've got quite a few paperback novels that weigh more than 700 grams. So it's really something that you could imagine lying in bed and holding with one hand and reading. And I don't think the Kindle is as light as that.
So it's quite chunky too, isn't it, the Kindle? It's actually quite chunky to get around with.
And every tablet computer, if you think of it as a tablet computer, well, the ones I've seen are the same size and weight as laptop computers, whereas this is very, very different.
So what? And it has approximately about a 10-hour battery life, so it runs for a fair while, a lot longer than, you know, a laptop computer, but that's significantly less than an electronic book reader like the Kindle. But the other things, I suppose, it's interfaces, or how it gets stuff into the iPad. So it's got a wireless connection. So if you've got a wireless network, it will connect. And they're also bringing out a version that will take a mobile phone 3G type service. So, you know, be able to use it when you're out on the move and use it through, you know, a 3G phone network.
Well, what sort of storage does it come with?
Good question.
Because obviously, with these sorts of things, if you are moving to things like reading electronic books, or you want to have your various material, I mean, you've got a bit of storage there.
Yeah, there's various models. It comes with a flash drive, so solid state storage. In the States, they've announced pricing for the US, but not for the international market yet. So in the States, it's $500 US for a 16 gigabyte model, $600 for a 32 gig, and $700 for a 64 gigabyte model. So 64 gigs, that's the big one. And, you know, add another $30 or so if you want that mobile phone type connectivity as well.
So the 64 gig is a fair bit bigger than the storage on an iPhone, say, but those other figures are about the same as what the newer iPhones are, I think. Is that right?
Yeah. So the top of the range iPhones, 32 gig at the moment, I think.
So some of it's sort of some of the drawbacks that people are commenting on is that firstly the display is not something that you'd probably want to use for a long-term reading.
Oh, okay.
So like the Kindle has special display technology to make it softer on the eyes, whereas this uses backlit LED, or LCD, I should say. So fine to look at and browse like a computer screen, but probably not sort of thing that you would sit and concentrate on for hours at a time without sort of, you know, being a bit strained. The applications have got to go through the Apple's online store, so it's sort of they've sort of locked that in. There's no camera like there is on most phones and personal devices. USB is type of connectivity that is very common in laptops and computers and so on, and it doesn't have USB native. It has its own little proprietary connector, and you can get a cord to connect it to USB. Otherwise, it doesn't do multitasking, so it does one thing at a time, and it doesn't read...
They only released the male version.
And it doesn't... It can't deal with flash content off the internet.
Really?
Flash content is a type of, sort of, I suppose, a more interactive type content that some web pages are built out with. So that's probably one of its biggest flaws.
In all seriousness, are we going to have heavy IT users, those the early adopters and stuff, really just give this a miss because it simply doesn't do enough?
Well, I actually think it's more the people who've got the luxury of having multiple devices that will use it.
This is just another one.
If you're fortunate enough to have a good machine at work or at home, depending, you know, what you're doing with your life, and a good smartphone, this fills the niche very nicely for those sort of people who would currently buy a netbook. So, you know, they're on the road a lot. They just want that extra functionality. I don't know if we actually mentioned it's got a virtual keyboard on it. So the keyboard comes up. You can actually type documents. So it sort of fits very nicely. I currently have a laptop that just literally sits like a book in a bookshelf just near my Leon. So if I want to pull things. So it's sort of, you know, take over that role. But I don't think everybody in the world actually has three computers.
See, we were arguing about this before. I actually reckon that those of us that work in sort of jobs where we have to actually do a lot of word processing and stuff, and we tend to take a fair bit of work home, okay, we need a desktop computer. But I reckon there's a lot of people out there whose home computer is used 99% of the time for browsing the web, doing Facebook, doing email, looking at photos, looking at videos. In other words, all the things that this device does, and they don't need a word processor. They don't need to be able to run Microsoft Office applications on their home machine because just about everything they do is just consuming media. And I reckon for those people, they might be able to do away with their desktop computer at home or their laptop computer at home and have this as the home online entertainment device, and then only at work actually use a conventional computer.
You could easily see it sitting in someone's kitchen being used to look up recipes and then, you know, check their email and browse the web, and when not doing that, you know, to be sitting in its stand and being used as a digital photo, you know, display and those sorts of things. I mean, Apple do it really well, and they make it a pleasure to use these sort of devices, and it's a really good experience. I think one of the biggest stories will be the content. I mean, there was a lot of speculation about it being used to purchase online subscriptions to content like newspapers and magazines. Rupert Murdoch's
And morning, given Rupert. It, how are you going?
He's
yes,
given
yes.
it the big thumbs up. He thinks
I
it's
bet
brilliant.
He has.
because it's a new channel for them. They can now sell papers and magazines through Apple down to this sort of reader. So they think it's great. And that I think that will be one of the big stories as well, is, you know, to what degree are people going to purchase media to, you know, through Apple, like they have done with music, to see whether, you know, this device is a success in that area.
Okay, I've got a question for you then. Is this a case of Apple being really smart with the concept of if we build it, they will come? That people didn't know this was the device that they needed to fill the gaps. Apple have come up with it. Is this one of those things that... Now that Apple have made it, people have gone, oh, I think I can have one of those, where they wouldn't have realised that there was a gap in what they wanted before?
I think to some degree. Apple are really good at sexing things up and convincing you that, you know, you should have one, or that you're something less if you don't. But I do think it comes back to that story about, you know, the content that they'll get into it. I don't think if it replaces just the phone or the netbook computer that it's actually going to be much success. I mean, remember, I suppose in Australia we've got lots of school kids are now being given the netbook. So why would you have a need for one of these at home if the kid's walking home with a netbook computer? Probably not a lot.
Well, this one will sit flat on the breakfast table. It's not like a netbook computer. It's not something that sits up there like that, like a computer that sits on your lap and you type on it. It sits flat. It's a media consumption
device. It's a pad.
And I reckon there'll be copycat devices, and that's the other thing that tends to happen with Apple, you know, with the iPod, for example. Other non-iPod MP3 players probably outsell the iPod, but no individual one does. It'll create a market for this type of product.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all that, but I'm not going to fork out $700 or $1,000 to buy one if I've got a device that is actually probably more capable, just not as sexy at home.
Well, one of the big stories of this year will be exactly that, is to, you know, not just who will come out with competitors, but it's actually Google, who, of course, very timely with their marketing, very timely with their announcements. If you go looking for the Googles, they're promoting their Chrome operating system at the moment, and also another operating system called Android, which runs phone devices, and we'll talk in the coming weeks about some of the phones released. But there's already mock-ups out there of Google's tablet. So you can just see, I mean, essentially it's the iPhone and the iPad versus Google's tablet and the Android phone, and Google's phone's called Nexus One. So it's going to be a big year between the Google-Apple war, I think, and that's probably good for all of us, that there is two very strong competitors. And, of course, we've got Microsoft sitting in the corner, who aren't exactly a small competitor either, and they've re-entered the whole tablet market with their Windows 7 operating system natively recognised as tablet.
Is the biggest problem for us as consumers, what we saw way back in the olden days in the battle between VHS and Beta, that you're going to pick a particular piece of hardware, get locked into that software and all of the subscription services that go with that particular beast, and that will exclude you from the others, then 12 months, 18 months later, a winner starts to emerge and you're not part of that parade?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I would have thought most iTouch and iPhone users don't have a sense that, you know, they've had to actually make a decision between one format and another, and that the benefits they've got from their products far outweighs any concern about being locked into the one vendor.
And there's a lot of, you have to be compatible. I mean, you use your iPhone, you're using Google Maps, you're talking to the Microsoft Exchange email server, you know what I mean? They have to work together, or so you're less locked in now than you were in the past, I think.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, this is really interesting at this point in time. But, you know, in 5 years' time, I wouldn't be surprised if they've got, you know, if they can enhance the device with the specs and what it can do, that it actually becomes more of a device of preference for, say, for children at school and for use at home. And it actually overtakes the other sorts of markets. Or a device that looks like that, that doesn't have a separate keyboard and a screen, and you've got to be a bit of a, you know, computer person to use it. If you can just use it on your lap, but do more with it than what we'll see in these first generation type releases of this device anyway, I think it, in the long run, it's probably got a lot more potential to be the dominant type device at home.
Alrighty, Barney, we know that you've got your eye on it. You'd like to have one, yes?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Pete?
No, I think the jury's out, Anne. I mean, I'd much rather see a little device that plugged into my iPhone that projected a keyboard onto a flat surface for those odd times. So, no, I can't keep it in my pocket, and the advantage of the smartphone, no matter what it is that it's in your pocket everywhere.
And nothing worse if you can't keep it in your pants, Pete.
Yes, we won't go there on this time slot.
Phil, what about you?
Yeah, not quite yet for me. My habits, like Barney described, you know, I need something that's a little bit more, but certainly down the track.
We'll have to wait and see. Watch this space, see who else comes on and starts to play in this particular playground and how it works out in the Australian landscape. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a podcast brought to you by ABC Local. And we have many more you may enjoy, such as Thank God It's Friday. Each week, Richard Glover and friends raise a smile with quirky commentary, comedy and entertainment. All available to download at abc.net.au/local/podcast.